Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Greg Lancaster, joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
You are listening to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program on Christian Television Network, and the VFN broadcast is going around the nation and around the world. We'll give a big shout out there to all of our listeners and our viewers. If you missed earlier programs today, don't forget it's four programs back-to-back. You can catch them at VFNTV.com. But talking about getting a biblical perspective of, you know, Ukraine, what's taking place. Don't ignore what's taking place in the Ukraine. I mean, that is such a lesson for us as Americans, as free people, as Christians. I mean, so many different paradigms. And it's just a powerful thing. You can catch that on today's first program that we had today. Also, talking about the science of happiness. We had a chance to talk about the science of happiness, a great thing from Soul Pancakes, you know, and then beginning to, you know, what is going to, you know, don't you want to be happy? Don't you want to be joyful? It's like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this thing called life the Lord has given me. But I got to focus on it, because we're, every one of us on the face of the earth are created the same. So we got to make an effort. And God gives us insight. The Word of God gives us insight about how we can be happy. You got to catch that, because it's very, very important, because the enemy wants to change our focus. He wants to keep our focus on things that make you unhappy and make you forget about things. And over again, I know that when Paul would write the church, he would just talk about, you know, hey, I want to remind you of these things. And Peter said, I know you know these things, but I'm going to tell you again and tell you again, because we have to be encouraged in that. So you want to catch that. And today's program, this particular program, I want to talk about, you know, looking for someone that says thank you. I mean, think about that. The power of gratitude. Just someone that just says thank you. Somebody says, you know, what's your goal? I just want to find someone that says thank you, you know, that's grateful, that appreciates God, what's happened, what God's doing in their life. Now, God's doing so many wonderful things. I mean, it's amazing what the Lord is doing. It's amazing what he's doing, but just because God's doing something doesn't mean people are grateful that he's doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And one of the things we talked about in the earlier program about the science of happiness is, you know, if you are that, or you're stuck in a relationship, or, you know, you have some unholy ties to something like that, and it's just like, you know, you're perpetually sad, you know. That how to break free from that is, you know, you got to find somebody that says thank you to God. Because understand this, when God turns over a nation, one of the first steps of turning a nation over is a people, his people, that don't say thank you. They just don't say thank you. They're not grateful to God. I mean, God gives us the air that we breathe. He holds us together. I mean, he's designed everything. He's holding everything together. I mean, he gives us life. He's the one that gives us food to eat, water to drink, blesses the work of our hands, and just allows us to live. And I think about it in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, when Paul's talking about here, he says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him. I mean, they didn't say, okay, he's God and beside him there's no other, and get the right perspective of who he is. That's so important, because, you know, I think about it when you read about different folks in the Bible who would go to, you know, Beelzebub and Baal and Asherah and all these different gods, that God's folks, when they would leave and not go to him, but they would go to these false gods, you know, God would be saying, you know, why are you going to wood and stone, and why are you going to all that? You know, you're not even acknowledged. I'm right here in Israel, and you're going to these, you know, and you think about it, and top it off, you're not even saying thank you. Not only are you not acknowledging me, but you're not saying thank you.
Right.
And there's something so powerful to and encouraging. You want to be encouraged, you know, continue to do good for the folks, you know, but find the ones and focus on the ones who say thank you to God, who appreciate what he's doing for them. And it'll encourage you enough to go back and minister to 10 more ungrateful folks. You know? You know, you see, I mean, I see God bless. I see God speak. I see people, you know, quake in their boots to step out to be able to trust him, and they do. And then God fulfills his word, does exactly what he says he's going to do. He moves mightily, Pat, mightily. I mean, he shifts their paradigm and provides and just moves. I'm talking like jobs, houses, cars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, within you know, 30 days, they don't even remember God.
Totally forgot.
They don't even remember God.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so fearful in the whole process, they weren't even grateful that he's doing this. They were just caught up in what if it doesn't make it, what if it doesn't happen. Like, oh my goodness, God just sold, did, bought, moved, provided, set you. What are you doing, you know?
Right.
And it's, I'm telling you, the power of gratitude and the encouragement, you know, as a minister, I want to encourage you, you know, if you're a pastor of a local church, God bless you. And I just pray the Lord would just encourage you. But I want to tell you this, that, you know, you may be, you know, working with a few folks that are just not grateful no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And you know, everything's a miracle because you're believing God for everything that's happening. Yeah, and you're watching God move, and you're watching as you pray, God heals and delivers. You know, continue ministering to them, but you may have to step out of that once or twice a week and go find somebody, just anybody, and pray for them and watch God move and watch them look to God and say, I'm so thankful for this. It will so encourage you, sir. Pastor, it will so encourage you enough to be able to go back and begin to share with your people that you're responsible for there and shepherding, to tell them, he says, you know what? We got to get focused on others. We got to do something. We got to be grateful. Because what happens in this progression of, and if you haven't heard, you know, is the nation under God's judgment? You know, these three phases of God, you know, turning a nation over in the hopes that they would turn back to him, is it starts with just not being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think of when I was watching some newsreels from World War II, and where the Jews and others have been put, some of the Jews have been put in concentration camps brutally. You know, 6 million Jews were murdered, and it was just horrific. They were treated inhuman, just terrible conditions. And then when the soldiers came in to free them, they've been treated so bad for so long. I mean, almost like it just didn't exist. So they, even though you're there, they didn't pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. And so they just began to just feel like, even though they don't even know I'm here, they don't know I exist. Right. And one of the soldiers, as, you know, group of these Jews were, you know, the bones were showing from starvation, their little bit of rag clothes that they had on when they're being rescued, and they kind of sat them down. And I would, it looks like about 20 folks or so. And one of the soldiers, who's coming from a place of being blessed, you know, a nation that's being blessed, looks over at one of these ladies who's sitting there kind of kneeling down, squatting down, this group was. Mm-hmm. And he looks at her and gives her a smile. And it just lit this lady up, this Jewish lady up, because mm-hmm. for so long, not even, people didn't even recognize even their existence. I mean, she was grateful for a kind look.
Wow.
Think about that. And how many people's like, can you just give me one kind look today? I mean, one kind look. When they look at themselves in the mirror, they always give themselves a kind look.
Right.
They tried this. Those folks that have those faces so long they can eat oats from a tailpipe, take a mirror and put it in front of their face, and all of a sudden they'll just light up. And you pull it away, and it'll go back. It's like, you smile at yourself, but you don't smile at us. You know, and it's like, come on. And then he pulled out a candy bar, a chocolate candy bar, which I believe was Hershey's candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave the candy bar to this lady. And she was so thankful because they've been starved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something, not only is it just food, but it's a treat. It's a sweet. It's
right.
Something you noticed me. You gave me a kind look. And she took that, and she took a little bit of the candy bar and ate it. But then she went and hid the rest of it.
Wow.
And this is what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. Says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts became darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings. Therefore, God gave them over. And it's like, why do we have to be given over? Why don't we just say thank you now?
Right.
Why don't we acknowledge God now? I want to talk more about this. Looking for thank you. I'm just looking for thank you after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do you react when your spouse irritates you? You could let bitterness build up, but on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Leslie Vernick suggests a different response.
I had a client whose husband was a smoker, and she thought he had quit, and he did, but he sort of snuck back, and he was deceiving her, and she was very angry, and so here he's acting wrong. He lied to me, and he's smoking. And so how do I act right? And so I suggested to her that one of the gifts she could give him was the gift of acceptance, that she's accepting that he's a non-finished human being yet, that he's still in the process of change, that he has some bad habits that you wish he didn't have, but you are going to accept that, not just acknowledge it. What I mean by accepting it is that you are going to accept that he's struggling with something that you don't like, and you're not going to resent him for it. That's a gift of love, to be able to do that and say, I don't like that you smoke, I wish you didn't, but I am not going to resent you or nag you about it anymore.
You'll hear more practical insights from Leslie Vernick today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week, every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton. We are talking about looking for thank you. Looking for thank you. Finding someone, because God does so much every day. I mean, think about it. If you live in America, and you're the poorest person in America now. I'm not talking about poor, I'm talking about po. You know what I'm saying? You can't afford the O or the R, you're just po. You're richer, because you live in America, you're richer than 75%, approximately 75% of the entire population on the globe. That's over 7 billion folks. Mm-hmm. Think about it, it's huge. And that's the poorest. So you look at the middle class and you look in the upper class. I mean, you're living in the top of the world. But how much gratitude? And so God did this. God has allowed this kind of blessing to come upon the land. And now it's almost just like we were talking about earlier in Romans, chapter 1, where it's like, not only are we not acknowledging God, but we're not crediting him for this. Mm-hmm. And we're not even saying thank you. And the thing about it is, if we take away the acknowledgement of God, who do you think? Who do you think? You know, men stand in line for that. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, God that provides. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. And this is my goal in life. You know, I want to see everybody saved. I want to see everybody blessed. And God provides faithful. He's faithful to the faithless. I mean, He will continue to heal and bless and forgive and provide and do all these things, even to an ungrateful people. It's amazing. He's just good. Sure, he is so good. And never underestimate the goodness and the love and the mercy and the hope of God that you would one day acknowledge him, though he's not far from you, mm-hmm. and reach out for him. He designed all this. he says in Acts chapter 17, and put you where you are to see if you would say thank you. If you would say, you know, I'm realizing this is God, and he's done this for me. And if you want to be encouraged, begin to say, you know what, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be responsible. But I'm going to have a quest. I'm looking for a people that say thank you to God. I just want to find somebody. And they spend the rest of their life. There's so, these beautiful people that know where God brought them from. Mm-hmm. And that knows that the tragedy was coming their way, or this, whatever it was. And God does like he does, just move mightily and provides and heals and delivers and saves. And they don't need anything else. They're just like, because of that, I want the rest of my life to be thank you. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And it's just, those are beautiful people. But an ungrateful folks are ones that is like, well, you know, that was last week. That was last week. It's like, yeah, but, you know, you're on your deathbed last week. I mean, how many times do you want to die and then be, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, you didn't have a home last week. You didn't have a car. You didn't have a job. You're all fearful and God delivered you. Like, what do you mean that was a week ago? That was last, that's old hat. Old hat. You don't even been around for old yet. I mean, life is just a vapor. And God's watching your reaction to him. And begin to look for somebody. Say, I want to continue to minister. I want to continue to love on folks and do my job and do all the different things that we do as believers, you know. But I'm going to look for those folks that just say thank you to God. They acknowledge him. It's like, you know, I was praying and I cried out to God and here you are. Boom, you showed up and you prayed for me and God sent you. And because God is good, he healed me. He delivered me. And I'm just so thankful. Think about it. I'm just so thankful. I'm telling you what, that will do so much for you. Because in America, I'm just, you know, it's despite all the things that are being done for Americans and for Christian Americans, that there's still very little gratitude. And it's almost like in many ways the church has turned political. And it's more into politics and finding the right man or right woman to do something versus what about the right God? You know, and he's always there no matter what your nation is, no matter what form of government you have, no matter what's happening, God is God, mm-hmm. Which is cool. Which means you can consistently be thank you. We live in the state of thank you. And sometimes, let me tell you something, your biggest problem right now may be that you've lived your life in the midst of a whole bunch of ungrateful people, and you're about to be taken down. You're about to be destroyed because you're thinking, what good is it? You know, what good is it? God, you've done miracles. You've delivered. You've blessed. You provided. And they still won't acknowledge you. They still won't be afraid. They still are terrified. They won't step up for you. They won't be, you know, they won't say thank you. You know, and they forget the moments they forgot, and you're thinking, you know, and you're letting that take you down. But I want to encourage you. Go look for grateful people. Go look for people who want to be loved, who want the love of God, and love them. Despite everything else, love them, and they'll be grateful to God that you did that. In America, it'd be a little difficult because we're so blessed, because a lack of gratitude, you know, but you're going to find some folks. And what you're going to find is you're going to have to look for folks that don't feel like they're all that. That don't, and nobody is all that, but the ones who, you know, here they are poor, naked, and blind, saying they have no need of nothing, but they're poor, naked, and blind.
Right.
And so it's like, you know what? I'm going to find those. That's the people that I want to talk to. If that's you today, you know, I just want to say thank you for being grateful. You know, thank you for being grateful. Write to us. Let us know. You know, contact us at vfntv.com. We want to hear from you. But we're literally making a shift in some areas of what we're doing, and we're looking for thank you. Mm-hmm. We're looking for somebody that says thank you to God, not to us or me or people, but it's just so beautiful just to watch God move in someone's life, and they know it's God. No man takes the credit for it, and they respond back to God by going, I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful. And it makes me think of this, that, you know, it makes me think about the 10 lepers talked about in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, when Jesus was, you know, moving and the ministry was taking place, And he entered into a certain particular village, and there was 10 men there that had leprosy. Mm-hmm. I mean, leprosy. I mean, your skin's, your body parts are falling off. You're losing toes and fingers, and, you know, this leprosy's taking place. And they lifted up their voices, and they just cried out to Jesus, you know, and just said, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, you know. And there's nothing like, you know, you have this unity because we're going through the same struggle. So all 10 of these leopards had this in common. They had this choral cry to God, you know, going, just, Lord, have mercy on us. And all of a sudden, the Lord just, boom, heals them.
Mm-hmm.
Heals them and tells them, go show yourself to the priest. And, you know, and you'll be cleansed and you'll be, you know, be healed. And he says a little bit later on that in verse 15, he says, and one of them, and there was 10,
mm-hmm.
but in verse 15, he says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Now, all 10 has been healed, but one, mind you, said when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice, glorified God, so he's acknowledging God, and fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks to him. He was thankful. He was thankful. How many times have you prayed and asked God to move and to heal and deliver and provide and keep you, and he's done it, and you didn't even say thank you? That's what 9 of these folks had leprosy. I mean, you think leopards would come. They would be, if anybody would be grateful, it would be a leopard. You know, it's like, I had leprosy. I was losing stuff. I was falling off. It's like, I need help.
Right.
And so only one out of that 10 came. And so Jesus responded back to him. He says, were there not 10 of you cleansed? Was there not 10 of you that I provided for? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? And he goes, were they not found to be able to return and bring glory to God? And all we have is this one particular foreigner right here. And he says, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole, made you well.
Hmm.
Yes, God does heal. God delivers and God provides. And even to some ungrateful folks, he does that. But if you want to be whole, if you want to live a life that feels whole, that you're not lacking anything, you need to be like this one particular man out of the 10 that had in common with all the other 9, that he was had the same struggle. He had the same sickness, the same disease, but he knew who to acknowledge for it. It was God. Mm-hmm. And he knew who to praise and he knew who to thank. And he went back and he said, thank you. Thank you. And Jesus says, well, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. So his gratitude, God's response to gratitude is you're going to have a whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a whole life. I remember we were doing one of our Next Step Father and Son camping trips, and we were out of Spring Lake in Florida, and just God's moving powerfully. And Jared was young. My son was young at that time, and just men were being touched. Fathers were being touched, and fatherless and mentors and all of that. And had the tunnel of affirmation going on. Mm-hmm. And I remember Jared walked away. And he came back to me, and I was on the stage ministering and all that. And he says, you know, the Lord just spoke to me, and he talked to me about the 10 leopards. He talked to me about the 10 leopards. And he says, you know, only one of them was thankful.
Right.
And he looked at me, my son looked at me, and he says, thanks, Dad. Thanks for what you're doing here. And it was just so powerful. I mean, out of all the men that were there and all the things that were going on, my son stood out because he said thank you
mm-hmm.
at that one moment. Isn't that powerful?
That is.
And you think about it, God's just waiting. Listen, God's good. The very fact that we're here, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he let us, the experiment that our founding fathers sought the Lord over called America and wrote out this Constitution, that we're still here mm-hmm. in the midst of all of our good history and our bad history. It's just God. It's the goodness of God and the outpourings that he has had even on this nation in the first Great Awakening and the second Great Awakening, and we're believing God for a third Great Awakening. We think about Azusa Street. We think about the Brownsville Revival. We think about the Latter Rain movement. We think about, you know, all the Steve Hills and mm-hmm. just all that came through the nation. Amy Semple McPherson's, you know, all the God's generals and Charles Seymour and just the good things that God has bestowed upon this land. And it's like, you know what? We have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be thankful for, and God provides for us. He provides for us. When you've cried out to him, he's answered you. And when you pray and you say, dear Lord, you know, and you spend time with him and he answers you right from his word. If you abide with the Lord, you know that it's amazing that you spend that time with him in the morning time and you abide with him, how what he says to you that day just rocks your world. I mean, it's like, that's exactly what God was. Mm-hmm. I know what to do here because God has told me what to do today. I know what to do with this. And it's like, you know, thank you, God. Thank you that I know what to do. Thank you, Lord, that you spoke to me. And just being grateful. And I just want to encourage you, if you've been struggling, maybe you've been locked down with a whole bunch of ungrateful folks. You know, it could be your, it could literally be your family. It could be a biological family. It could be a spouse. It could be children or parents. You know, it could be a church gathering of believers who believe, but they're not whole because they're not thankful or grateful. It could be your workplace, but begin to look for someone that says thank you. And by the way, to do that, you're going to need to believe God and pray for folks and begin to step out and say, you know what? I want to see God work with me, and I want to watch their face and see if they look up and say, thank you, God. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for delivering me. That just makes my day. Looking for thank you.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There's so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you. And it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong because that's not true. And that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if in fact that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go
amen.
To meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
You are listening to the VFN-TV Daily Radio Program. Just want to say a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audiences out there around the nation and around the world. And we're so glad to be able to have you. If you missed our earlier programs, don't forget we're four programs back to back. And talking about, you know, what is the perspective of Ukraine, what is taking place in so many different areas of the world, and just good stuff, very good stuff. But we're going to talk about, in this particular program, you know, getting God's perspective, keeping the conversation light about, I guess you could call it, you know, technically ignorant in technology. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how technology, and you think about it, it's just such a blessing. At the same time, technology can be such a curse, you know. And we're going to really focus on today's this particular program, getting a biblical perspective of technology. And what really made it stand out to me when I was, you know, in all my research that I love to do, this particular Malik, who has a blog now, but he actually used to work for Forbes magazine and the Red Herring, used to be a writer. He was interviewing, I believe, the founder of Square Technology, with the, you can, you know, do your financial transactions through Square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a very smart man. I mean, his degrees, he got it in New Delhi on chemistry, and he's just a very intelligent man. And he interviews all the tech folks. I mean, he knows the latest cutting edge, you know, Google Maps and Facebooks and logarithms and the details, how these things work, and a real smart man, you know. And he says in the middle of his interview, and it's a long interview, but he says one thing in the midst of it as he's talking to right here in this interview, and I believe it's about Google. It's about Google Maps, the new Google Maps is coming out, a new version of it. And these are the two guys that work intensely with a real large crew to be able to map the world. And it's just amazing. And he starts talking about how technology has taken away the tangibleness of the whole thing, the feeling of it. But the biggest thing, this smart, intelligent man who is in the end, I mean, he is into techno. I mean, he is one of those guys who is very intelligent. He knows about technology and likes it as well. But he talks about what it's doing to him. And I want you to hear this little part of the interview of Malik as he's talking right here about what technology. He's talking about maps and Google Maps and how he used to love looking at paper maps. And he would memorize these maps. And it would just, it would mean something to him. And how things are changing. He used to be able to remember phone numbers and different things of that nature. But anyway, listen to this. This man, it's just amazing. You can actually see this, obviously, on the television with Christian Television Network, but also on VFNTV.com on The Torch. Listen up.
Jokes aside, I think the thing which I find interesting about maps and the smartphones is like before the smartphones came around, I used to use the regular candy bar phone, and I would remember everybody's phone number, like all my friends. I would remember almost 200 people, 250 people who were important to me, their phone numbers, and I would remember, look at the numbers, like who's calling. When smartphones came, they just kind of went into the, you know, like I forgot that I had that ability to retain phone numbers. Now with the maps, I take a lot of pride in being, like I remember, like I can look at a map and I can remember the map for the rest of my life, and I can navigate wherever I'm going, except for Paris. I get lost there all the time. I don't know why, but like any city I look at, I can remember it. But lately, because of the phone and the map, I have started to lose that ability. So I think it's an interesting dichotomy, is that as we are losing our human capability to machines in many ways, including these maps. So
it's amazing. You have this man who gets it. He gets it. And he had it. You know, some of us, there's nothing to lose anyway. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not like we picked up some smartphone and we lost our intelligence. It really helped us out. You know what I'm saying? But he's talking about that losing our human capabilities. Think about that. Mm-hmm. This is what Malik is saying. Oh, Malik, he's saying that I realize that we're losing some of our human capabilities. He said, you know, that I forgot that I had the ability to memorize phone numbers.
Right.
I'm losing human capabilities. I forgot that I had the ability to remember. And what does God say? He says, remember me. Mm-hmm. We have to meditate on the word of God. Right. We have to relate to God. You know what I'm saying? You can't download God.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? He's not an app.
No.
And you think about it. I remember that, you know, before all this technology that, you know, always been one that planned and did different things. But you would have all these phone numbers in your head.
Yeah.
You would have just all these phone numbers. You just had them. And you would just dial them without even thinking. You would just dial these phone numbers. And today it's like, I don't know. I know my wife has a phone number, a cell phone number, but, you know, I just push her face. That was the little butt, the thing right there. And all of a sudden she's on the line.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that's cool. Technology's cool how it's helping us do more. But the question is, are we becoming technically ignorant? Is it actually taking away from us what God created us to be? How do we keep ourselves and use technology at the same time? How do we maintain who we are and our relationship with other human beings, you know, and with God, and also maintain technology?
Mm-hmm.
And the ultimate thing is that if technology is sin for you, it's sin for you. If it's not for someone else, if technology takes away all your abilities to have a relationship with people and with God and to engage yourself in the life for you, you cannot. It's something you gotta give it to God, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do that. And so, but the question is like, man, this guy's smart. You have to understand, if you watch a lot of his interviews, he interviews all these techno leaders and CEOs and founders, and he's saying, I am losing my human capabilities. And the truth is, because it's so deceptive, because you feel like you have all these capabilities, but what it is, technology has those capabilities. We don't have those capabilities. We aren't able to search, you know, the entire internet in 5 microseconds, right? Because we're intelligent. That's because of technology and what Google or Bing or whatever, through their logarithms and their methodology, they're doing that. That's what that's capable of. What we're capable of doing in that context is typing in the word dog and pushing search, you know, and all of us, you know, that's what we're doing. There's no capabilities in that. That was other people who labored and gathered and did all that, which is cool. I think it's a great thing. If in fact I'm still being engaged in life. And this is important for us as the church, because as we talked about America, how we get here and how do we stay here, and you got to get that. If you haven't got, you go to the VFN Torch and get it, or maybe you go to the VFN store and get it. But it was the word of God. It was the word of God that was being held back from people who had a desire to have a relationship with God. And when they got the word, when Tyndall and all that crew began to write out the word of God and put it into the hands of men and women, they met this God of the Bible. They met God, and they've had a relationship. They began to trust God to the point they said, you know, we're going to live for God. And so they had to get a hold of it. They had to participate with it. They had to read the word of God. You couldn't Google a scripture. You had to actually read the word of God, and you had to meditate on it. And when they did, they found out, my goodness, we don't even need a king.
Huh.
When they begin to live their lives in a way that, that affected the Church of England in a way that they said, you know, okay, these guys are going to, these are, these guys found God, you know, who are they? Mm-hmm. You Puritans, you know, the Queen would spit out of her mouth. And, but what it was is people that actually got a tangible relationship with God that came from the tangible word of God, by them spending time with God. And this can't happen virtually. And then, because it was such a powerful relationship with God, that they were being persecuted and being told that they are being rebellious to the king because they wouldn't have the Church of England was all merged together and the queen or the king was over the church. Go figure. And because they found God had a relationship with them, they said, you know, you're in rebellion to the king. So they had to flee the country. And this is what happens when you don't lose your human capabilities to go after God. We got the Bible back. They go to America, and the long story short, because these men and women met God, they realized that you didn't even need a king, and you could have a nation, one nation under God. They found out that you can have a nation under God. But the direction that we're going, you have to do things in this environment to be able to make sure that you don't lose your human capabilities. You know, we went through a whole thing that we call the Dark Ages, where we were using paper technology and those type of things and being interactive in how we were doing things planning things and just doing great things. God was doing great things through that technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, through that methodology where our capabilities are, we're investing ourselves in it. Mm-hmm. We're doing the thinking with our two little brain cells. And then all of a sudden technology hits the world and hits America. And you're thinking, man, this is great. You know, we can do what we're doing on this scale with this mass scale. And also we went straight technology, just all technology. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's not being done like it was being done. Things aren't being accomplished the way they were being accomplished. And it was amazing. Even though we were busier, even though we could stack up more of all these different things. Mm-hmm. The truth is that the actual capabilities, the actions, the physical manifestation of humanness of doing it, the interaction, mm-hmm. was being overwhelmed by the ability to stack up all this knowledge.
Right.
To the point it's just like, oh my goodness, it's better to have nothing than to have, you know. And so the question we asked ourselves at that time was, and it was a big struggle, was because what do you do with this technology? Because it's great. You can do so many different things with it, and you can reach so many people with it. And it's just amazing. But we can't compromise our ability to move forward and do. And what we discovered was the revelation that came out of that. And we call that the Dark Ages, all technology. And today, right today, there's so many people that don't have anything in writing. They have no documentation whatsoever. And the truth is, if somebody was to flip the switch because they're losing all their human capabilities, they'll have to learn from point one how to do that again. They're living in the Dark Ages and they don't know it yet. But when the lights get flipped, the switch gets flipped, and it's like, I don't have anybody to think from anymore. I've got to figure out what a map is and how mm-hmm. I get. So we're going to talk more about this after the break. It's so important to say, you know what? Just like Malik is talking right here, I don't want to lose these human capabilities. I want to be engaged in life. I don't want to be technically ignorant.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio
is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Now they'll have the ability to track every purchase, every sale, every, you know, where you're at, facial recognition. But the good thing about me is that my weight varies so much, they won't even, the thing like, this could be him, but his face is differently shaped now than it was before. You know, it's the turkey. It's the turkey.
Yeah.
The,
can you imagine society, the facial recognition, they sell these, I saw them in the store, these, I guess they had them for a while because it's wintertime, but those ski masks that cover just your eyeballs, just your eyes, they have a whole society
just
wearing
cover the eyes?
Well, No, I'm sorry. There's an opening just for the eyes. Okay. Are you trying to get back to the K-On? Is that
just trying to help you out.
All right.
K-On-isms.
It's K-On-isms. Yeah. Anyway, there's a whole opening just for the eyes that your whole face is completely covered. And you think, my
Oh, the
goodness.
Whole face?
Yeah, except for you know, your ability to see.
Oh, a mask.
A mask, yeah. Ski mask. You know.
A mask.
Whatever.
We call those masks.
A mask. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, ski mask.
The point here. The point here that I'm trying to make.
Is there a point?
Is there a point?
There's a point. It's coming.
Point.
Ready?
Is that K-On.
All that surveillance and facial recognition? You have a whole society walking around with all these masks. It's like,
well, they have a law now. They have a law right now that you cannot wear masks in certain areas.
Really?
Like when I was going, I had a mask on the other day. While I was walking in the bank. I had a mask on.
Someone politely escorted you.
Nobody greeted me. Like, no, I'm messing with you. They have a law that says you can't walk into a bank with a mask on.
Yeah. I think that's a good law.
Do you? Well, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, hey, I think it's you should never have a mask on. They're going to think it's a great law.
Yeah.
You know what that means in the North? It means your nose is going to freeze, your ears are going to fall
off.
And your lips are going to be split in 15 locations because you're not going to, the cold wind's going to be hitting you, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's different. I mean, obviously, down south, they don't worry too much about, you know, if somebody's wearing a mask down south,
you're in trouble.
Something is up.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton. We're talking about, you know, trying not to be technically ignorant when you have this Malik talking about, I mean, this very smart man. Talking about, I've realized I'm losing human capabilities with the more this technology goes, and I forgot I had the ability to memorize numbers. And it makes me think about when, you know, storms hit. When you think about some of the hurricanes they hit, and all of a sudden the power is out, and you remember how that was. And and you go to the local store, maybe it's a local Walmart or something, and you see the person who's been checking people out of the store for years.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really did was they just stood there and let the technology check people out. And they would take the product and that you went and got, and you would put it on this little conveyor belt thing,
mm-hmm.
and it has a little barcode on it, and they just swipe it over it and stick it in a bag and swipe over it and stick it in a bag, and swipe
right,
over and stick
right.
it. So they really, you know, you think, well, they know what's going on. My assumption was, well, they're involved in this process.
Mm-hmm.
But when I noticed when the hurricane hit, I'm thinking, these guys were stunned. They did not know how to do a transaction. They were not involved in any of that process.
Mm-hmm.
They were not any of it.
Right.
And they were standing there, even though there was still product there. There were still people that had the need of the product. There was people who could gather the product and bring it to the particular place to check out. The money was in their pocket to give them, but because they were technically, they become ignorant because of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thinking they were doing something, but really the technology was doing it. They didn't know how to check out a box of cereal.
Yeah.
They just stood there stunned. I mean, everything was still there. And I think about fast food restaurants during those times that they just look. I mean, you still have, you know, everything's still there to be able to produce the food. A cash register goes down, and they're, like, stunned. They don't know,
you know, what to do. And it's like, you know, cookie foodie, I'll give you money, and we all have this thing out. And nobody, it's like we've become so dependent on the technology. We have to learn how to what I call critical thinking. You got to begin to be involved. If you're doing something in your life and it involves technology somewhere, you know, ask yourself the question, what is this thing doing? Mm-hmm. What is it happening? And how does the process work? And if it was to shut down and it wasn't to work, I mean, now that I know what it's doing and how it's doing, I'll just do what it was doing. Mm-hmm. Maybe slower, but I'll do what it's doing. And something as simple as that, if you're in a store and your technology, your checkout point of sale system goes out, you know, you can take the money and take a piece of paper and write down what happened there. Keep a record. You know, take the people's money. Don't stop. The people that owns that store want you to continue to sell the product.
All right.
And there's all kinds of ways to be able to do that, to be, but be involved, critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And critical thinking is not sitting in front of the TV and just staring at it. That's the brain waves, they say, go to a complete standstill during times like that. That's not mm-hmm. critical thinking. Critical thinking is getting involved in it. And when you think about children, people in general, but children, you know, that people call you a very mean parent if you are trying to teach your children to think. If you're trying to teach your children to think things through, to be a critical thinker, because there's so many things now in America that you can be a kid, you can grow up, be a teenager or young adult, and spend your whole life and never know anything at all because everything's known for you. You just got to know which smartphone to get, as Malik was talking about, that tells you what to do, and which computer, you know, to tell you what's going on. And it's like, and so when you're teaching your kids, for example, critical thinking, that it's going to be difficult. It may be a little bit slower. It may be tedious. But if you don't go through that process, I mean, they're going to be a slave to some technology. They're going to be technically ignorant. They're ignorant because of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're as believers, I love Bible apps, and I love, you know, search, being able to search on different programs that you can get for the computer and all that, but there's nothing more precious than a Bible. And if you don't have your own paper Bible, if you don't have your own paper Bible, you know, I mean, still use your technology if you want to, but get you a paper Bible. Have you a Strong's Concordance. Get you a Unger's Dictionary. Get you some things that when you begin to study and be with the Lord on some occasions, that these people who own these technical companies have no idea what you're studying that day because you didn't go look it all up in Google and didn't search it all out. You asked you and God all by yourself, you know, looked up a word and searched out a scripture and spent time soaking in the word. He says, "Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you." And it's just something about tangibly holding that Bible. And that's where, and you hear us talk about it all the time, and this is how to prevent becoming, in regards to your relationship with God, becoming technically ignorant, where you're ignorant about the things of God because of technology, is to begin to abide with Him. Begin to abide with God. Spend time with God. And if you don't have a plan to do this, we have a simple plan for you to be able to do this at iabide.org. Just go there and request your free plan today. But you want to start getting out of any ignorance, technical ignorance in regards to your relationship with God. I mean, if America became unplugged for a day or two, will you become unplugged from God? Right. All your notes, all the things that the Lord's told you, I mean, dreams He may have given you, is it all in technical data systems, or do you have it printed out in a journal, or do you have it in a book somewhere that no matter what happens, you still have access to this?
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. And then when you spend time with God, you know, lean more on the side of tangibly using your human capabilities to be able to spend time with Him. And I'd like to think about, you know, five things to think about and meditate on when you're spending time with God, so that you're actively involved in your relationship with God, that you're not fooling yourself. And all of a sudden you're at the throne room of God, the judgment seat of God, and you're standing there like a Walmart checkout person who is technically ignorant. The power has gone off, and you're scanning your salvation across a scanner, and it's not working. And you're thinking, "I thought I had a relationship with you, God."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, you are technically ignorant. that technology talked about me, but you didn't talk to me. Is that making sense?
Oh, yeah.
And what we learned, as I was saying earlier before I talk about these five different attributes of abiding, is we learned that technology was cool and it was good and it was really great. But we were submitting to technology during those dark ages. And we realized that we can use technology, but technology needs to submit to us. It needs to submit to what God says in our life. And once that paradigm was there, it was amazing. All of a sudden, it didn't matter what technology did because we were leading our lives. Technology wasn't leading our lives.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you don't throw out technology. I mean, you can if you want to, but you don't throw out technology. You can just say, you know what? I'm going to use it. I'm going to have it submit to what God is saying in my life, and I will use it in those areas of my life. But in regards to abiding with God, how to make sure that you're not ignorantly thinking you have a relationship with God and His Word, but you have it with technology, you need to go to iabide.org and get you an abiding plan today. Because when you spend time with Him, you want to think about, you know what? I'm just grateful, God. I am grateful for what you're doing in my life, and begin to just write out in a journal, you know, what you're grateful for. Then to begin to, you know, one particular scripture that you're hiding in your heart. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. And then as you're reading the word that day, what stands out? What is God saying to you that day as you're reading the word? And write that down in your journal. And then finally, you put down, you say, God, what are you saying to me about me? You know, what are you saying to me about me? And write that down. And finally, as you're writing with a pencil and a journal, you know, say, you know what, God, I'm so thankful for the cross of Christ. Lord, what do I need to lay down at the cross today? What do I need to lay down for the finished work of the cross of Christ? Listen, you need to get your relationship back. We don't need to lose our capabilities of having a tangible relationship with an awesome God.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. You want to visit them today. They're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit the $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.